What a day that will be when our Jesus we shall see. As I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Yesterday, we went to the funeral of our neighbor who was 95. I actually found out he was, I thought he was 90, but he was 95. U.S. veteran. And I was looking at him in his casket and I was thinking, I am so happy that we loved on our neighbors. You know, I'm so happy that we was able to be a part of their journey, you know. And it was so nice because the kids, you know, they was all there. And we've never met them or anything. And they was like, we've heard all about you guys. Thank you for helping our dad. And, you know, it's just not that we need a thank you or anything, you know, but it just really lets you know what's really important in life, relationships, you know. And being able to build in with your neighbors. Now, you know, we have several neighbors here that are not good neighbors. Don't get me wrong. But we're very thankful that we have been able to really establish two good neighbors, you know. And but anyway, looking at him in his casket, you know, it just reminded me of how close we all are into entering glory. I mean, you know, he's old, but in reality, he's young again. He's dancing around the streets of glory. He's not in pain anymore. He's not suffering anymore. I remember one of the last times that I saw him in his house. His wife was off doing something. It was just me and him in the living room. And he looked at me. He goes, I hate being like this. I am ready to go home. That's what he told me. Because he can't do it. His body was out of control. He was done, you know. But he knew at his 95-year-old, frail end of his life that he was ready. And that's the key for all of us, is that when our time comes, are we really ready? You know, I remember praying with all them people on their deathbeds. And I've told you guys these stories, you know, I ain't got to sit and rehash all that. But the point is that, you know, this is why I preach like I do and why I'm like I am. It's because of how God shaped me. It's my story. You know, our stories are for God's glory. And so, he's the one that sent me out to London and sent me to Washington, D.C., sent me to the deathbed of all these people to show me the realities of life and how close we are to the end. And so, I realize how odd this ministry is, and the difference of it, but it's my story, you know. It's what God has brought me to. I can't explain it, you know. Yesterday was my father's anniversary of his death. He's been dead 26 years officially. My father, you know, they divorced when I was 5. He was an alcoholic. My mother was an alcoholic. So that's the kind of home I was raised in. And, you know, that kind of home, you walk on eggshells. You know, so I've had to grow up really fast, you know. And my story, just like your story, of all the things that have happened in your life, has made you the person you are today. You know, If it's not the way that we want it to be, and we want it to be different, then our mouth needs to match it. You know, we cannot speak death over ourselves, over our destiny, and over our future, because our past does not dictate our future. Let me repeat that. Our past does not dictate our future. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what you've been through. The abuse, the horror, the, you know, all the things back there. Back there. In Jesus, we're a new man. We're a new creation. We are meant to be light. We're meant to be in the glory. We're meant to see the beauty of His holiness. We're meant to be walking in the kingdom of heaven, you know, in a different realm, in a different circumstance, per se, you know. And so our mouth has to match that type of deal. Because the past is what the enemy meant to destroy. But the future and our now situation is, when you're a Christian, you're in a different realm. And like yesterday, you know, on the news, I had to tell the bride something so sad, that our president has started a new department underneath the Department of Justice, which is the policeman of the government, okay, to where now they are going after, in quotes, fraud to everyone, the citizen, the government. It doesn't matter. Of course, he tried to make it look like to the world that he's basically going after the deep state. If you're a governor doing something wrong, if you're a senator doing something wrong, we're coming after you. You know, but really, when you read the fine print, he's coming after churches. He's got on there non-profits, which means churches. He's coming after churches. He's coming after Christians. He's coming after Trump haters. You know, all the people basically they don't want in society. I mean, because it's not just that, but imagine how many poor people on disability that has filled out their paperwork wrong, or went and bought something wrong. And you can say I'm being exaggeratory, but I'm not. We're talking fraud. You know, we know that, you know, they're building all of these prisons and all these camps. And I mean, it's a real thing. So when I say, you know, that we have to know who we are in Christ and what kingdom we're walking in, because our circumstances and our reality of what we're living in now is very fragile, you know, to say the least, people, you know. You know, the beast, when you think about the way the Bible describes it, he's bloodthirsty for the saints. Remember the snake poem? Oh, you knew I was a snake and you let me in. Don't be mad at me when I bite you. You knew I was a snake, a dirty dog snake, you know, and you let me in. So the point is that we have to endure till the end. And God is with us now, and He will be with us over there. We walk in trust, knowing that, you know, God is going to, whatever our future is, there's grace for that. So when you think of all these horrible things that they have in store for the people they don't like, you know, and you put whatever equation in there, scientific thing you want to put in there, you know, just think grace, 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 you know. And one other thing, since we're on the Trump topic, that I want to say is, let's all rewind 10 years ago. you know, when Trump said, I'm going to arrest her, I'm going to lock her up, I'm going to go after Obama, yada, yada, drain the swamp. Who's the swamp? Who's the only ones that have been arrested? Christians. But people ain't saying nothing. Look at it, it's all conservatives. All his people. The ones that have been arrested. So, but now he's getting bolder. He's getting bolder. So now he's getting ready to ramp it up. So for us, we have to be prepared in our hearts for this, to give our all, just like I showed y'all that woman last night on the news that was telling everybody about what's happening in the Episcopal Church. You know, she's telling them, their priest or whatever is telling everybody, get ready to give your life, you know, for what you believe in. You know, it's not that we're calling for a revolution. It's not that we're calling everybody to step out there in social justice and fight like somebody stupid. You know, actually, I'm encouraging everybody, don't do that. Because if you notice, now I'm off on a rabbit, and I only have a minute this morning. Pastor, he needs me because we have appointments this morning. I don't have very long. But if you look at what's happening in the global scene with all these so-called riots that are happening out there, they're all in the major cities, aren't they? The cities that I've showed you guys are TNG. So test number two of the 6G status. Remember last year they tested out in all these big cities another type of riot. I can't remember what it was back then. That was test number one. Now it's test number two because they've rolled out 6G, which even, you know, like the president said, it goes to the inside, you know. So, and the energy directed weapons, you know, they're in other words, they're testing out their tools. We also know that Trump is putting in, you know, military in every state. So, in other words, the beast is closing in. Okay, so for the Christian, we have to know, number one, are we saved? Number two, are we ready to meet the Lord? Are there things unsettled in our hearts? Number three, we got to forgive everybody. Make sure you forgive everyone. Make sure you have no anger, wrath, malice, and murder in your heart. No vengeance, no manipulation, no lying, no stealing. You know, all that stuff that is witchcraft in your heart, get that out. And then ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Ghost to speak in tongues. That's a weapon, one of the best weapons we have in the earth today. And then the next one is you want to make sure that your heart is ready. You've already warned everybody, so that level's done. Everybody's been warned, and they're going to do what they're going to do. But for yourself, you have to have your mind made up. Now, I met this woman yesterday. And, you know, she was a really good, godly woman, you know. And she was talking about how, and, you know, she's just a local person. But she can see in the spirit, you know, that this is the end. This is it. You know, there's, you know, she didn't take any of the V's or, you know, even when they tried to push the flus or anything, you know. And so I'm thinking about having her, asking her to come preach for us one Sunday. Now, she is an old-fashioned Pentecostal. But I think it'd be a good flavor for us. You know, so I'm thinking about talking to Pastor about asking him, you know, if we can have her preach for us one Sunday. That'd be pretty cool. But the point is that we've got to have our mind made up that we're ready to give the Lord our all. you know, and be willing to die for his name. Now, as I stated last night as well, another revelation that I would like all you guys to know, because this sermon will actually go on the website and be public for the world to hear, because I have told you I have a lot of people in China and all these other countries that listen to it. But there is, and when I do the news, it's private. It's a closed door conversation, you know, that only my people can see. But on preaching, you know, it is public, especially on this type of stuff. But anyway, what was I going to say? I was saying dying for his name. I can't think now. It just left me. Sorry. But we have to be ready, you know. Oh, I know what I was going to say. So last night I told everybody, I had a realization about something. See, I've been telling everybody to stay out of the 5G, but the Web 3. And I had a realization. Now, Web 3 consists of many things. It consists of facial recognition, thumbprints, password lock, you know, passkey. And so my intention was for us to stay out of all that, because it includes and going into the crypto, Microsoft 06-06-06, and the vaccine. But I went to the bank the other day, and the bank has remodeled their drive-thru. So when you pull up to go to the bank drive-thru, there is a whole new system set up that is like a computer screen, a camera. It's videoing you and it's taking pictures of you. And then I got to thinking, we can't run from this. If you're still going to live in the world where you're going to go to the store and buy anything, if you're going to drive a vehicle, if you're going to continue with a cell phone, if you are going to get out on the roads where they have cameras and pictures taken of you everywhere you go, if you're going to go in any store now, it has got cameras and video. Even churches are full of cameras now. We went to the church yesterday for the funeral in our local town here. There was 3 live stream cameras in the sanctuary and 3 other of the beast type of cameras in there. Then when we went into the fellowship hall, there was cameras in the fellowship hall. No privacy when you get out in public at all. In the church, in a store, on the road, at the bank, nowhere. So trying to run from getting your picture taken is absolutely fruitless. They're getting you everywhere you go. Much less you're giving your picture every time you get your driver's license. So trying to run from getting your picture taken is stupid. That's one thing I've realized. Another thing is your fingerprint, they already have it. If you've ever done any type of job where you've had to get a background check, you know, I did my fingerprint a long time ago when I drove a school bus. So there you go. There's your fingerprint. You know, so me asking everybody or trying to encourage everybody not to get involved in this is really stupid, because we're already there. So I was telling everybody last night. Now, the only cutoffs that we would have that is a no-go, absolute not cutoff is the mark of the beast, according to the Bible. So what is the mark of the beast? The vaccine and crypto. Why is crypto? Because crypto is a part of the mark of the beast. So definitely we're not doing the digital money, and definitely we're not going to do, what was that other one? The vaccine. So There's nothing else we can do about the other. Unless you want to go live in a cave where you never drive again, throw away your cell phone, no smart TVs in your house. You hear what I'm saying? Even your, if you have electricity on your house, now you have the smart pole. Everything in your life now is watching you. There's no privacy, no cell phone privacy, nothing. Sitting in your house, if you have a Wi-Fi, there is no more privacy, period. Because the Wi-Fi is now monitoring people. It's watching. It's probably taking pictures of you. We know it is heat sensing. We know it now got sensors, so it knows where everybody's at in the house. So if you're going to hide from the beast, you can't be in the beast. So if you're going to hide, get rid of your cell phone. And this is advice for anybody listening to me. Get rid of your cell phone. Have no smart stuff in your house. Get rid of your computer. Excuse me. Don't ever drive again. Give up your driver's license. Sell your car. Go in a cave and hide yourself. Or if your house is paid off and you have to pay no mortgage and you are free, but you still, okay, even if you did that, even if you have a house that's paid for and you're living in a house and you say, okay, I'm never leaving my house, I'm going to stay in my house at all times, okay? Even if you do that, you still have utilities unless you're off-grid and you don't care about electricity. They can have it, so psh, there goes your electricity. Well, then you still have water. So do you have a well? Do you have a spring to where you don't have to go pay city water? So you have to have a bank or whatever, and you're not going to work, so you're going to have water on your grave. Y'all hear where I'm going with this? This is where we're at now. So the way that we have to look at it is, okay, what is the mark of the beast? And then we realize, well, the mark is when they're transforming people. They're tagging them like cattle. So this is our no-go, people. You know, you can't say you can't take my picture when they have your picture everywhere under the sun. So that is fruitless. And if you have ever been on camera like I have, I'm done for. You know, all these videos I have out here is my facial recognition to the bone. If you have ever called into a company and you have talked to an AI where they say, yes, ma'am, I had an AI agent get smart with me the other day. They'll say, okay, please tell me the reason that you're calling, ma'am. You know, this is the AI agent. And I'm like, yada, 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 yada. Okay, and what about this, ma'am? And then I'm like, I need to see an agent. I want to speak to an agent. Listen, ma'am, I am an AI agent. It is the same as if you talk to, I mean, like, this thing literally just talked to me like I am just as good as a human woman, you know, like, but it sounded so human, it was freaky, you know what I mean? I was like, what the world? So, if you've ever talked to one of them, they're recording your voice. So, there you go. You got your voice out there. And you got your face out there. So trying to run from this thing is fruitless. The only thing that I believe we still have a chance to say no to is the V and the crypto. So when it gets to that point, when they want to turn us over to that digital economy, then we can say no. You know, now I want to throw something out there to you guys, because since this is being recorded, going back to the fraud. If Trump and this AI beast bribes people, you know, like say it says, we have this proof that you will be exposed because we found that you did this. So if you will sign on the dotted line and you will come over to this new economy and you will give your data to us, then we will remove this. You can start afresh like Jassara Nassara. You know, this is where people are going to be making choices. You know, do you want to be exposed? You know, do you want to stick to your principles and be exposed in your sin? Or do you want to have it hid under the rug and let the beast protect you and then you step in his kingdom? That's basically one of the options. And the reason I think that may be an option is because the Black Mirror episode does exactly that. Yes, it does. It shows how AI is going to be using the data that it has against you, you know. And I've actually had it on the news where it's done that to people. I mean, in today's time, real time, it's done that to people. So, as for me and my house, Dennis and I can't control my children. They're going to do what they're going to do, and they already are, you know. But as for me and my house, we're not going to play that game because we know and have the realization that it's not about me. You know, y'all may judge me here and you may, you know, do what you're going to do to me publicly. But the judge that I'm really worried about is my king. You are in a kingdom of this world. So y'all are going to do with the Christians what you're going to do anyway, you know. My thing is I'm only here temporary. I am a passing through ambassador, you know. And yeah, I probably did make mistakes along the way. But who do I answer to? You know, if I answer to you, it's only because he allows it. You know, he's the one in control, not you. So if he allows you to do this, then he's my king. Because I'm going to stand before him throughout eternity. Do y'all hear where I'm going with this? You know, whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. His report says I am healed. His report says I am filled. His report says I am free. His report says victory. Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Another thing I want to say is, since you guys have been with me, some of you 10 years, Numbers, the Lord told me years ago, back in 2017, when I did the National Christian March at the White House, and I declare we are a Christian nation, after traveling this country, 36 states, 18,000 miles, plowing in prayer across this country, doing four revivals, yada, yada, yada. I get up there and only 10 people show up. I was so hurt. But that's when the great cloud of witnesses come through. My mother come through, who had just died 9 months before. And God told me, this is the audience that you're pleasing. Don't never look at numbers. And I am so glad that he gave me that revelation, because all these years later, I have been attacked on numbers. And you all know it. So if I'm sitting here with 5 people, it's a million to me. Because my God is the one I'm pleasing. See, the world, I had somebody yesterday at the funeral. We was talking about my gray hair. Now, you know, most of the people living out here, they're all like old-fashioned Pentecostal, hair in a bun, no makeup, all natural. You know what I mean? Well, I'm all natural, but I cut all my hair off. You know, so now I got this stylish do. So we was talking about it, you know, and I was telling him, well, I like it because it's a lot less to deal with. All I ever did before was just pull it up in a bun, and I'm tired of it. I want to be able to look, you know, stylish. I want to be able to fix it and you know, do cutesy stuff with it, you know. And but we was talking about, you know, the woman's hair and then being gray and you know, all this kind of stuff. And I was telling him, I said, man, can you believe I called the other day to find out how much it would cost to get it blonde? $165. I'm like, I will keep my gray, thank you very much. I mean, I just can't believe how expensive it is now. You know what I mean? But I had a reason for telling you that, and I forgot that, too. It was something about hair, but I can't remember what it was. I don't know. It totally left me. But anyways, that's my encouraging word to you guys today is, all those things about being ready for what's coming. And then I want to read you one chapter and then I have to get off here and I do apologize. Tomorrow I will be able to spend time with you. Okay, if you would turn your Bible to Revelation chapter 22, this is the last book of the Bible. And this will give you a lot of hope. Now, just to let you people know, I read King James only. Now, when I want to understand context a little bit, I will look at other, other publications type of deal. But mostly, I just follow the King James Version. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. I just had the funniest thought. Y'all forgive me for going off this little rabbit trail. When I graduated with my master's degree, I treated myself. Because, I told you I graduated not top of the class, but, really good. Just got back from London, worked for that lawyer for a year, really excited about my future. And so I treated myself and went on a cruise. And I took my daughter and her boyfriend and we went to the Bahamas. So we're out there and we're looking at the water and it is crystal clear. Oh, the Bahama water is so, you can see right through it. Just so crystal clear and beautiful. And I kept having all these men ask me to marry them. And I'm thinking, what is wrong with these men here? And they, of course, they're all black, And I'm like, what is the deal here? So I asked this black man that was over there on the beach that asked me to marry him. I said, sir, I just got to ask you, because I'm from America over here. Why do y'all guys keep asking me to marry you? What's the deal here? And this is so funny. He said, how did he say it? He said, bones are for the dogs, but meat is for the men. It was so funny. I was cracking up. I was like, I ain't marrying none of you guys. It was funny. But anyways, going back to the Bahamas, that water, it was just so crystal clear. It was so beautiful. And I kind of got a little taste of like what the heavenly water looks like. You can only imagine. And when it says proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now, Brock, when he went to heaven, he explained it to me what that looks like. And I want to share it with you guys. He said that he was in this valley. And, Jesus was showing him around and everything, and he showed him God's throne. He said it was at the top of a mountain, and that it really is a mountain up there, and that the throne is so glowing you can't see nothing at the top of this mountain. But out of this mountain is flowing crystal clear water. Isn't that beautiful? He said it's like four streams coming down the mountain. And I was like, wow, can you imagine what that? And he said the streams just run through the city. And he also said that the gold is alive. The gold, when you walk on it, it moves like it's alive. Pretty cool. Everything's alive in heaven. Okay, we're only on verse 2. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bear 12 manner of fruits and yielded, remember my dream about the tree that keeps yielding the fruit, every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. I met a preacher in Texas, and she said that she has the gift of healing. So what she does in her head is she pictures that when somebody walks up to her and they say, I need healing for something, that she reaches up in the spirit and grabs the leaves off that tree and brings it to the people. I thought, that's a cool visual. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. In what? In what? In heaven or in the river? The throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. I'll be honored to be his servant. I consider myself now a servant, which NAR totally disagrees with that mindset. They say that we're not servants, but we're joint heirs. But they say it like a little bit different than the way I think. Because I think we are servants to God. So we do what he says, where they say we boss him around type of deal. I do understand authority, you know, like when we say in the spirit, you know, and I have spoke to that devil many times and said no. And I've told you, you know, many stories about that kind of thing. I do understand that we do have authority, but I don't believe that we override God's will, you know. Like, say, for instance, God is bringing judgment to a nation. You can't override his judgment, you know. It's meant to get people's attention. There's a reason for God doing things the way he does. But we can pray over our stuff that we have dominion over. For instance, when I worked in Washington, D.C., and God put me as the captain in the spirit over the U.S. Capitol and over the White House, I did feel like I had authority there because God granted it to me. I'm an ambassador with authoritarian rights, you know, so I could pray and take authority and dominion and stuff like that because it was my territory. Did y'all hear what I'm saying? But I don't believe I can just arrive in some city and be bossing everybody around the spirit, you know, which is the way they feel. And one of the things that proved their theory is wrong is COVID. Where was your authority then? I mean, why didn't you tell all this to go away and it just disappeared? Why did you partner with the very ones who brought it? I mean, you know, that's your common sense talk right there. All right, let's continue here. Verse 4, and they shall see his face. Wow. And his name shall be in their foreheads. Bam. All right now. All right now. Because in the world, the beast's name is in their foreheads. He knows who's his. And he knows who's God's. Who God owns. Because they're sealed. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Isn't that awesome? And he said unto me, these things are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Bam, there it is right there. Unto his servants. We are his servants. You know, we are to humble ourselves when we enter the king. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Yeah, we're joint heirs, you know, by the spirit. But we honor the Father. You know, we honor the king when we walk into his court. You know, we don't do like they say in the courts of heaven doctrine, where you just go up there and start bossing the devil around up in the spirit. That is crazy. When you go before a judge, if anybody's ever been in a real courtroom like I did when I worked with that attorney, did you know that every judge has protocol? That's why attorneys, before they go to court, they get to know who this judge is. That's why you'll see on these TV shows, who's the judge? Who is the judge here? Because as an attorney, you better walk in that courtroom the way that judge expects you to walk in there. You will address this judge the way the judge, you will dress the way the judge expects you to dress, and you will humble yourself. You know, there is protocol in the courtroom. So these people, these NAR people that try to act like they can control everything with their own mouth, that's the craziest doctrine. Because you're not going to walk up there. If this is real, that you actually leave your spirit man and you travel all the way up in the heavens, and you go up there before God the Father, and you see the devil on one side, and you see Jesus on one side battling over some soul, and then you just walk in there before the King of Kings, you walk in there before God, the creator of all things, and you start bossing everybody around. That is stupid. That is stupid. No. If you was able to go up there and be a part of this so-called war in this courtroom, no, you would walk up there and you would humble yourself, because Jesus is your mediator, not you. Do not mediate your sins before God. That's why Jesus came. He's the Lamb. So I'm sorry. Jesus is the high priest here. You have to go through Jesus. You can't override him and step up in front of the judge, the king. You just can't do it. There's protocol. This is protocol. You got to do things right. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? So, there is protocol. Okay, so you're a servant. In other words, there is a place and a position for you. You know, you are joint heirs in the spirit because you're of another realm. You're of another kingdom. Now, verse 7, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then said he to me, the angel, don't you do this, for I'm your fellow servant, and I'm a brethren to the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God, not me. And he said to me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust. Okay, let me pause here. Do y'all hear this rooster out here bossing me around? This rooster is such a joke. He's funny, though. But he follows me. You hear him? He's right out here in front of my office. When I was in the bedroom getting dressed, he was over there. When I went to the bathroom to brush my teeth, he was over there. When I was in the living room talking to Dennis, he was over there. Now he's over here. What kind of chicken soup is this about to be over here? This rooster, man, I'm telling you, I've never had a rooster like him before bossing me around like this. Okay, now, going back to verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. This is a word for you guys today. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. Why is he saying that? Because Jesus is coming quickly. People are going to do what they're going to do. You can't control other people. You warn them, you love them, you witness to them, and you let them go. And you let Jesus be in control. Okay? Verse 12, and behold, I come quickly, this is Jesus talking, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. Now, it's not that our salvation is based on works. No, it's not. You can never work your way to heaven. It is by his grace. But the Lord will reward you for what you do. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Okay, now, let's talk about the beast a minute. Okay, the reason that the beast wants cameras everywhere is because that's his eyeballs. He wants to see what everybody's doing so that he can have a voice. It's all artificial. It is intelligence from another world, because it's demonic. So this thing is creating a metaverse, which is going to be his world, where he can have all this data and control all of the image of God. Now, of course, the ones that won't comply, he's going to remove that image, because he wants all images in his head, okay? And this is what the eyes are for. So this is why he wants in with the motherboard, because he wants them to be his wife, his cattle. You know, he wants to be a part of what's going on the inside. It's the new frontier. Okay, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Now notice he said, does his commandments. It's not that we live by the law, but Jesus fulfills the law. So it's not that you get rid of the Ten Commandments. Of course, you're still going to honor your mother and your father. Do not lie. Do not steal. Right? So he's saying, blessed are those that do his commandments. Now, another thing I think that he means by that is, okay, let's say you're married. And let's say you have a husband, and he tells you all the time, I love you, I love you, I love you. But his actions never show it. Talk to me through your actions, sir, more than your mouth. I would rather see. And I told you guys, that's one thing about Dennis, and he has confessed this in church, so I can say this publicly. That is a flaw that Dennis has, that is probably why he's never been married until me and him got married. You know, he was 63 years old when we got married. He's never been married. And this is probably why. This is the one flaw he has. He has a very hard time communicating, telling people how he feels. Okay? But he will show you all day long. And that is what I saw. Okay? I saw that when he came here, when I first bought this property. And I asked him, Dennis, because, you know, he was on my prayer team for a year. And I had met him a few years before at a rally. And I just saw in a video the other day when I first met him. And I didn't even see him, really. You know, because I didn't see men at the time. And he was up helping me and everything, just like he does now. I'm like, wow, if you'd have known back then. But anyway, so he said, I forgot what I was saying there. What the world? But the point is that he cannot communicate with people how he feels, but I saw how he feels. And that's why when we got married and walked down the aisle the first time, I played that song, You Make Beautiful Things, because Dennis reminds me of Jesus so much. You know, Jesus makes beautiful things. And when I married him, you know, back in 2013, and I did a public ceremony where I married him to do a visual of what it's like between the bride and Jesus, the groom, yada, yada. Well, I walked down the aisle back then to You Make Beautiful Things, because Jesus does. He takes a piece of dirt and makes it beautiful that has been so traumatized by their childhood like I was. And the woman at the well is not even funny. Remember, I was married 6 times, slept with so many men, it wasn't even funny. You know, just a very perverted woman. You know, that's how I identified love type of deal. Just dirty. But when Jesus took me, you know, he cleaned me. He gutted me like a fish. He reshaped me on that potter's wheel, and he made a beautiful thing. You know, and what he can do with a heart that is so broken and shattered, and how he can put that heart together, he makes beautiful things. So when I married Dennis, and I saw Dennis, how when he came here to help me do this house, he would just make me things out of nothing. He would make me a beautiful garden. And I walked by and noticed it, that he made it out of sticks and rocks. You know, and I'm looking at it, I'm like, did you make that? He's like, yes. I'm like, wow, I cannot believe you did something like that. And then I'd look and he'd done something else, you know. So I saw that he was flirting with me. That was his way of letting me know that he liked me. So I didn't even know it. But when he went back to Arkansas, you know, my cousin called me and she said, girl, you know that man likes you. I said, no, he don't. I said, he just goes to my church. You know, he's just a regular congregation member. She goes, oh, no, ain't no man going to take off work a week and come down there and shower you with all these beautiful things he made you if he didn't like you. So I called Dennis. And I just come out and asked him outright. I'm like, Dennis, my cousin says that you came down here because you like me. Is that true, sir? You know? And he's like, yes. I was like, what? I about fell over. So that began the journey of me and Dennis. But anyway, okay, let's go back to the scripture over here. And we're almost done. Okay, so as I was saying here, blessed are they that do his commandments. Because if you really believe something, you're going to do something about it. You're not just going to believe something and sit there idle, because then you don't believe it. You know, if you really believe something, then your actions are going to back you up. You know, when I was sitting there and I was talking to that preacher woman yesterday, and I was telling her a little bit about my journey. You know, I was telling her about, you know, the rejection I've been through and stuff, because she's a minister like me. She's traveled. She gets where I'm at, you know. And I told her, I said, I told my kids, you know, God backs me up. I don't have to convince any of you kids that I have a God with me. There is no way that God would, that I could go to the White House and have all them open doors and go to the United Nations and New York City and all this stuff if God's hand was not upon me. So he justifies me. He validates me. I don't have to validate myself. You know, and so I was telling her, you know, this is where as ministers, you know, you have to get to that point that I don't need all you people's validation to tell me that I am what I am. I know that I am a woman that is called of the Lord, that, you know, does what the Lord tells me to do, you know, because she was telling me she's the same way, you know, about doing what the Lord tells her to do, you know, type of deal. But anyways. So, blessed are those that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life. Now, let's talk about that a minute. The right to the tree of life. Let's go back to the beginning. The Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve. Did you know that when they sinned and ate of the wrong tree, that they were removed and expelled out of the garden? Why was they expelled out? They were expelled because they did not want them to have access to the right to the tree of life. They lost it through sin. The right to the tree of life. That is a blessing to those that do his commandments. And may enter in through the gates into the city. See, Adam and Eve got kicked out of the gates. Remember, the angels had to guard the gates into the garden. But when Jesus came up out of the grave and he went down into hell and got the keys back from Satan and come up, he walked right into the garden. He entered through the gate, which was the tomb. He walked in the garden and gave us the keys back to the garden. So we have the access now to the tree of life. Isn't that beautiful? Now, to those who do not want to do his commandments and do not want to be a part of the tree of life, this is who they are in verse 15. For without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loves and makes a lie. Boy, that'd go somewhere, huh? I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Isn't that beautiful? And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that hears say, come. And let him that is thirsty come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Isn't that beautiful? For I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Bam. That goes back to the second covenant. Jesus. If they don't accept Jesus, they are dogs. And that's the only way to say it. They're going to end up in hell. There's no other way to say it. Jesus is the only way to heaven. There is no other door. There is no other road. There is no other avenue. There is no other path. There is no other enlightenment. There is no other person that can get you to God, because Jesus is that high priest. The temple is now within. It's not without. So when they say that the Antichrist wants to build a temple and set up in a temple, he already is, people. And this is where he says, I'm the father of it. I'm the father of it. Because he comes in and he sets up his throne. He which testifies these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Everybody lift your hands. Say, in the name of Jesus, I am asking you today, Lord, for more grace upon my life. Help me to obey you, Lord. And yes, I am your servant. Here to do your will, Lord. I humble myself before my King today. I give you my all, Lord, and I'm asking you to open my ears that I may hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys. Well, I've got to get off here. I'm already so late. I love you guys, and I will see you this evening for the news. God bless.